Oh, here we go again.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
All right, just please.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, as I say to you at this time. Hither forth. Come forth, Ron Van Dam Show. Come forth into my living room, into my abode, my car. Come forth and find me. Oh, man. Oh, boy. You know, I've noticed the older I get, the more everything I do sounds like I'm trying to pass a gigantic turd. I don't know, and excuse me for starting off with a turd story, but I've noticed recently that everything that I do sounds like I'm on the toilet. Everything. When I get up from the bed in the morning, oh, what a beautiful morning. The sun is shining through my window panes. And I put my feet on the ground and I stand up for the first time of the day. And the sound I make is just like I'm sitting on the toilet. And then I'll go to put my shoes on. I'll bend down to get my shoes. Or there's a penny on the ground or a piece of lint. And I'm fanatic about that. If I see a little piece of anything on the ground or on the floor, I will pick it up. Because I don't want my house to have anything in it that doesn't belong. Anything at all. If there's a piece of dust that I will bend down and pick the piece of dust up because I am that way. I wouldn't say that I'm ADO or APP or AAC or COD or COPD or any of those things. I mean, I won't cut my grass with a pair of scissors. I'm not that meticulous. But I do like things to be in their place. So I'll pick everything up. And when I do, I make that grunting sound. Ugh! I do. I can't pick anything up without it. Sometimes I'll grunt just in anticipation of picking something up someday. I grunt for everything. I do. I should have that as a bumper sticker on my car. I grunt for everything. You should hear me when I'm making love. Oh, I'm grunting like an asshole. It's unbelievable. I'm grunting like there's no tomorrow. There isn't any tomorrow. Well, if there's no tomorrow, you grunt more. Is that what that's about? Well, I'm talking like there's no tomorrow. So there's no tomorrow, so talk right now. Talk as much as you can. Well, but there's no tomorrow. How do you know there's no tomorrow? What if tomorrow comes and you've just shot your wad, man? You've done all your talking. You've talked like there's no tomorrow. Then tomorrow comes and don't you look stupid, huh? I think you do. I think you do look stupid. Yeah, you look stupid. Yeah. You look so stupid today. You are so stupid. Hey, baby. Want to have some fun? I'm just a phone call away. 1-999-555-5552. Let's get it on. You call me, I'll give you 3 minutes of talk like there's no tomorrow. We'll explore the parts of your skin that you didn't know existed and that really shouldn't exist. We'll explore every crevice, every edge, every hole, every part of your body. That's right. And it's all for $69.99. 3 minutes never sounded so hot. Call now and get a coupon for steak knives. They cut, they dice, they chop. They are amazing. Hey girls, looking for some fun tonight? Me too. I'm not your mama's sister. I'm not your boyfriend's boyfriend. I'm a guy who knows how to talk it out. So come on, girls. Open up that treasure chest of fun, that footlocker of squirm, and let's get it on. Do you like to be touched? I can't touch you, but I can talk about touching you in a way that you'll be touched without me touching you. And a free set of steak knives. Did I say free by mistake? I meant a coupon. So come on, girls. I don't care what size you are, what culture. The size matters, but other than that, the culture doesn't. Give me a call, and we're gonna go to town on the phone. Give me a call. I'm only a couple fingers away, if you know what I mean. Sorry, I had to pick something up.
Listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. It's not true. It's not true. That's not true. It's not true. It's not true. Okay. We have an old friend who is going to lead you to the path of knowledge and wonderment. It's time for your horoscope.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your monthly New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have planned for you. Aquarius. Your life lately is the result of a lot of really questionable choices. I don't see that changing anytime soon, but I do see a lot of Mexican prison food. Pisces, watch out for your evil twin. Not the one you already killed, the one you weren't aware of. Aries, in your endless search for meaning, remember to check between the couch cushions. Taurus, you've got a career change coming. You probably weren't thinking about it and didn't know about it, but your bosses and coworkers certainly have. Remember, friolators get really hot. Gemini, bad sushi means a good lawsuit. Mazel tov! Cancer, chances are pretty good that you are going to get hit by a bus or a derailed train. Leo, don't stand too close to Cancer. Libra, romance is in the air for you. So is a raging STD, thanks to Miss or Mr. Right. Or both. Virgo, start saving now for your dream vacation. Looks like the money will go to bailing out your quote-unquote Uncle Freddy again, but it's best to plan ahead. Sagittarius, exposure to a leaky microwave at a chemical plant will give you superpowers. Or some kind of really bad tumor, not exactly sure which one right now. Sorry. Capricorn, you are about to make two new best friends, tequila and despair. So stock up on limes and Kleenex. That's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopes, Cape. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
Skip Char. Here and make two new friends, tequila and despair. Skip, oh my God.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today,
all right, I'm going to tell you what not to wear ever, 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 ever. In my mind only. And if you ever bump into me with a shopping cart or something, be careful. Don't do it. Don't make me bend down to pick things up because you know the sound that I'll make. Don't ever, ever, ever wear your hair up in a bun. And I'm not so much addressing this to guys as I am to females who have hair long enough to put it in a freaking bun. Buns are only good in the morning with coffee as a pastry. Other than that, your hair is not a bun. Buns are not attractive things. Buns look like wrapped up pretzel turds. I'm serious, they do. Buns need a sugar glaze on them to make them passable so they don't look like turds, even though they simply look like glazed turds at that point. Buns are disgusting. No one wants a bun near them, certainly not on the top of their head. Women who put their hair in buns are probably not understanding that more than half, perhaps 90% of the male population hates you in a bun. Hair, buns, never. It's not like tequila and despair. These two things don't go along. Don't ever do it. If you do, and you wonder why people are staring at you, you think it's because you look wonderful because your hair is in a bun? People are staring at you because you look awkwardly stupid. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. Some women put their hair in a bun because it's easy. Oh, it gets in my face. It gets in my way. Try ponytail. Makes you look like that fantasy high school girl that every guy wants to nail but can't do it. Because you're not supposed to, and it's icky, and it's awkward, and you'd be a sick fuck if you did. Still, the fantasy remains for many men. Ponytails, good. Hair in a bun? No. Never. Ever, ever good. And when do women really put their hairs in buns as a matter of tradition? There is something. And what it is called a wedding. Or a prom. You girls think that in these formal, quote-unquote formal situations, your hair must go into a bun. All this wonderful hair that gives your face the sculpture, gives you the womanly lure, you remove the hair and you throw it on the top of your head with a clip and you think this is a formal look? Why don't you just shave your head and forget it then, huh? Make sure nobody ever talks to you again. Unless you have cancer, that's a whole different deal. But I'm talking about hair buns here. Girls who get married and put their hairs in buns pretty much shouldn't be married. You should say to them, I'm sorry, but the way that you view yourself in formal situation precludes me from marrying you because I can't deal with that concept. I would never speak to a woman with her hair in a bun. I would say that I can't hold a decent conversation with you while your hair is all up there, because there's something wrong with your process thinking that you look good in that circumstance, because you don't. And when you get married especially, you ask your bridesmaids to put their hair up in buns. Let me tell you something. That's cruel to other people. That's abuse. Because that bun thing ain't going to happen. The only thing the bun thing on the hair is good for, it's a handle for people that want to take you by the head, smack your head against the wall. This gives you something to hold on to as you're saying to them, what the hell's wrong with you? Why are you wearing your hair in a bun? Buns, not good for women. Don't ever put your hair in one. Because if you do, there's going to be a lot of guys that behind your back are going to say things like, what an idiot she is. Ooh, that's a shame. A pretty girl like her putting her hair all on the top of her head in a bun fashion. I'm thinking purgatory here.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today.
Time to welcome a new sponsor to the Ron Van Dam Show.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water, Aquamira, contains only the finest hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques.
Aquamira.
Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats.
Aquamira.
Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Aquamira.
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Aquamira, ladies and gentlemen. The discerning bottle of water. Free range water. Oh, man. Yeah. You know, it's sad. I was watching 60 Minutes last night, or maybe three nights ago, or maybe it was a week ago. Maybe I never watched it. One of those. You pick one. Doesn't matter. Has nothing to do with this. But the point is that someday, and not too far in the distance, oil will not be the gold commodity anymore. It'll be water. What we're doing is apparently we drill for water because there are droughts all over the place. All over the place there are droughts. Ron, yeah, if there's a drought in one place, then there's tons of water somewhere else. Yeah, I know. But when you have a drought in an area, like in California, for like years, you start drilling for water. and drilling into the earth. I'm telling you, I mean, yeah, I'm a hippie and all that kind of stuff, but drilling into the earth is not good. It's like sticking needles in your face, and then it's not. Don't drill. Don't drill. Leave the earth alone. Let it do its thing, man. But when you drill for water, you're taking the groundwater out of there, and it doesn't replenish really that fast, if at all. And someday, there ain't going to be no water left. And when there ain't no water left, and it doesn't have to be in your hometown, you're thinking, oh, I got plenty of water in my hometown. That's not the point, kids, because your hometown doesn't grow most of the food for the entire world. When it comes to a point where you can't do the crops anymore because you don't have water, water is the lifeblood, then you're screwed. That's why water, you got to be careful. You know, like watering your lawn every day, that's just wasteful cosmetics. It's superficial crap. When people need water to stay alive and you're making your lawn look green, I mean, it just really isn't right. It's just not right. I don't care if lawns are tan from now on. I don't care. As long as everybody's lawn is tan, I don't care anymore. If everybody else's lawn is green and mine is tan, then I got a problem. But if everybody's is tan, I have no problem whatsoever. Tan can be a beautiful color. They make pocketbooks in tan, so I guess it's fine. I have a tan shirt, and it looks just fine on me. So tan's fine. I don't mind the tan. But water is going to be the major commodity. There are going to be wars over water. I'm telling you, someday there will be. That's why someone needs to invent, and I will invent this, but I'm just too busy right now. I will invent some type of system that takes ocean water and turns it into drinking water. Now, I know it can be done because that's water, but it's just not drinkable water. It's not potable. It's not potable. You have to plug it in. It's not potable. If I can figure a way, and somebody's probably done it, but just doesn't follow it out, or I don't know about it, someone find a way to turn the ocean water into drinking water with some kind of pump factory or something, we're good. Because I don't think the ocean water is going to run out. The earth is like two-thirds ocean water. And, you know, like, hello, like, where am I going to find water? It's right in front of you. You just can't drink it, asshole. Well, there you go. Well, there you go. That's all it takes. So, yeah, it's Aquamira, you know, and other water companies eventually take your ocean water and transform it, man. Eventually, we're going to take the power of the sun and we're going to transform that through what we call solar energy into our major form of energy. I know that, you know, Ron, you know, that's very expensive right now. It's because the oil companies don't want us to use that. They want us to use their oil. Yeah, natural gas. Well, we've got the stuff pumping, man. We're going to make sure you use this rather than use the power of the sun or the power of the ocean, which can do everything for you. We just need the technology to and the companies to put this together. It's free. That's the problem. It's free. We're harnessing the natural stuff. That's free, man. You don't have to drill for it. You just convert it through solar cells. Sounds a little too simple, doesn't it? I got solar lights in my front yard, you know, that they sit there and they soak up the sun every day into these little cells, tiny little thing, you know, no bigger than the size of my fist, even smaller. And at nighttime, man, I got light all night on my front lawn from these little lamps that have been powered by the sun that's soaked up in the cells all day. Well, let's do this on a larger basis. I think we got ourselves a deal here. So let's start turning solar power, which is there anyway. I mean, it ain't going anywhere. If there's no sun, we're all dead anyway, so let's use it. I mean, it's like the sun is saying, hey, look, energy, I'm giving it to you for free, but you guys don't seem to get it. The oceans, two-thirds of the Earth oceans, you know, raging and powerful, and hey, you can make electricity out of me. Hey, you can drink me if you can figure me out. I don't know about that. I mean, I'm serious. It's just weird. It's just weird. We're weird people. We're weird people. We're weird. We're weird people. We're weird. We're weird. We're weird people.
Morning. Today's forecast calls for blue skies.
Here's something weird, ladies and gentlemen, that I cannot get over for the life of you. Not the life of me. This isn't about me. It's about you. You go to the supermarket, don't you?
Yes, I do, Ron. How'd you know that? Are you psychic or something? How'd you know I go to the supermarket?
Man, you're amazing. Remember those self-checkout lanes where you would scan your own items and bag your own items? Remember that? They're gone. In most supermarkets, the self-checkout lanes are gone. You may not have even noticed this. Next time you go to your supermarket, walk in and you'll see they're gone. I went to Lowe's a couple of days ago, or it could have been yesterday, or it could have been last week, or I may have never gone to Lowe's. You'll never know. And there used to be 8 stations of self-checkout. They're still there, but they're gated, closed. You can't use them. What happened? Costco is closing down their self-checkout lanes, which was half of their business. But they're going to close them down. What's going on? They just didn't work. People had more problems than they had ease, convenience of shopping. And the funny thing about the checkout lanes, and it's absolutely true, when there was a problem with a checkout lane, the light would flash and a little beeping would go off and everybody would turn around and look, oh, there's a problem in the store. And it's not good. Psychologically, it's not good for the store for all the customers to realize, hey, their shit don't work here. It's just their lanes don't work. We're not using that. And how many times, man, have you gone to one of these self-checkouts and it's like, oh, no, I just don't want to hassle with that today. And if you have a coupon, it that doesn't work. It's just awful. And if you got produce, like, you know, yeah, grapes, like a quarter pound of grapes, great. I gotta find the code on it. I gotta look up grapes. Are these seedless black grapes or are they purple grapes? I can't tell the difference. It's a pain in the ass. The elimination of both store loyalty cards. Remember those loyalty cards? Nah. Stop and Shop still uses them, but they're about the only ones. The self-checkouts are among the changes that Albertsons made in their stores. Albertsons is one of the largest grocery chains in the country, ladies and gentlemen. They made those changes years ago. So it was no surprise when Osco, Acme, Shaw's, and Star Market chains, this year it ended up doing the same thing, getting rid of their self-checkout lanes. Now it appears self-checkout lanes are going to be a thing of the past. There'll be no more loyalty cards and no more self-checkout lanes. Osco has quietly begun removing self-checkouts from several of its Chicago area stores, replacing them with more express lanes. They say, we have set a higher bar for customer service in our stores this year, Osco says, and we feel that letting a customer come in, shop, and leave without any opportunity for that is the last interaction at the checkout stand, and it's reflective of the culture we're establishing. I don't understand what the hell he's talking about. Shaw's has also removed self-checkout stations from a handful of its stores in New England. Though it may or may not be a part of a larger effort, depending on whom you ask, and Acme is now considering it as well. We look at everything and anything that will increase our service to our customers. So back to the original question then, says this article, does the fact that so many grocery chains are simultaneously either considering or actively doing away with self-checkouts mean that self-checkouts are officially an endangered species? Walmart is going the opposite way. Walmart doesn't have self-checkouts in most of its stores, and they're going to put them in. Here's the problem with self-checkouts is you can finagle them. And that's what they're not talking about here, and I think that's the reason that the stores are getting away from self-checkouts. And I'll tell you why. I went to Costco yesterday, or could have been a few days ago, it may have been last week, or I may have never been to Costco. This is what, you know what I'm doing? I'm Brian Williamsing myself. I'm making sure that I'm not lying about anything by being too broad and undiscreet about it. But seriously, I went to Costco. I did go. And I picked up about 10 items, which tend to cost me $5,000. Every time I walk into that store, I always say, I'm just going to walk around and eat the free stuff and get a $1.50 hot dog and I'm out of there. I end up spending a lot of money, and I don't even know when I get home what I spent it on. I have no idea. I have no idea whatsoever. I have no idea. So I buy the items. There's a lady there, and I don't go through the self-checkout. There's a lady there, and she checks my stuff. She's very proficient at it. You put in the shopping cart because they don't give you any bags at Costco. You see, you pay a membership fee, but they give you nothing in return. It's psychologically an incredibly amazing fuck to all its customers, but it works for them. So they put all the items loosely in the cart, and then you figure, okay, I'm going to go home now. I just paid for my stuff. Within about 20 feet, there's a person stationed, and she has to check to make sure that everything in your cart is something that you paid for. It is the ultimate display of mistrust I have ever seen in my life. Hey, I just paid for this shit, and now you're checking me out to make sure I paid for this shit, and I'm a member of your club? Thank you very much. Thank you for this trust. It is the most bold slap in your face, fuck you, any consumer can get. And yet Costco remains one of the most successful merchandising stores in the world. And they're assholes, and they're great to their employees. Their employees love working at Costco, although I never see their employees. They don't exist. They're all at the checkout lane. If you walk through the store and you want help with someone with something to find something, of which you can find nothing in that store because there's no rhyme or reason to where anything is in that store, there is absolutely nobody to help you out whatsoever. And yet, for some reason, they're like number one in customer service. I totally don't get it. I totally don't get it. And then when you leave, they totally mistrust you and say, I got to check you out. I don't believe you bought any of this stuff. I think you're trying to rip us off. Every single one of our club members have the ability and probably the want to rip us off completely. So we have to check everything in your cart against, And some people say, well, that's because they don't have bags, so you can just put anything in your cart. No, that's not true. Once you go through the checkout, there's nothing else to buy, unless you start taking floor tile off the floor. I mean, what do you mean put extra things in your cart? There is no more merchandise at that point, except for the hot dog, but the guy has to give you the hot dog. You can't just grab a hot dog and leave. I don't understand their whole system. It's stupid. It's foolhardy, and it's just I just don't get it. And when I don't get things, I become very culturally confused. Like why am I not getting this? Why do people love Costco so much? Why don't the club member? And I've done this. I've gone to the front desk at they call a courtesy desk. Although I don't think they know the meaning of the word courtesy nor desk, by the way. And I say to the young lady, it's always young lady behind the customer service, whatever desk, and I say, why do you have to check out my cart like 30 seconds after I just paid for it? And she said, and here's her answer, well, it's store policy. We'll pass that on to corporate. Yeah, you'll pass on nothing to corporate, honey. You're giving me lip. And I know you're giving me lip, because I've had lip given to me before, and I know what lip is. I even take Lipitor, so like I'm like really familiar with this. So don't give me lip. Well, that part I didn't say, but I did complain or express my concern. That's what I did. I expressed my concern for this ridiculous setup. I don't care to be mistrusted. Maybe someday I will steal something from the store, and then you'll have reason to do this, and then I'll feel better about myself, you'll feel better about yourself, because we'll both display that, yeah, I guess you can walk out with something. But until that happens, don't play with me. Don't play with me. I am not to be played with. Don't play with me. I'm not to be played with.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Don't worry, no one has to know. This is just between you and me and Ron. We cool?
Part of what I do on this program, and probably the only thing I do in this program, is to keep you well informed. I love to keep you well informed about stuff. You should be well informed. So I as I grunt when I pick things up and get up from a chair and scratch my ass, I grunt for everything. As I said, that's my new bumper sticker. I grunt for everything. I do want you to be medically set up. I want you to know about every possible disease that you can get and how to stop it. And you won't get any of these diseases. I guarantee for the most part that you won't, because you can't possibly get all of them at once. But I do want you to be aware. That's all. So here we go. Hey, we're speaking to country music singer Wade Hayes. How are you, Wade?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thanks for being with us. You're welcome to the Southern New England area.
I really appreciate you having me on.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Where are you in the country?
I'm actually at home in Nashville today.
Nice.
It's a cloudy day, but it's warm here.
Okay. Now, you got a new song and an album. Tell me about the inspiration for this.
Yes. In 2011, I was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Mm. And statistically, that's about a 12% chance survival rate. Mm. And I had been through it twice. And now, you know, no evidence of the disease. And in fact, one of my last visits with my oncologist, he said, you know, Wade, this is a huge deal. You were stage 4. And now there's no evidence of the disease whatsoever. You need to go live your life. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. So I went and wrote the song with a songwriter partner here in Nashville and started doing the song live. And it really, really resonated with some folks. And we decided to record it. And now I have partnered with Genentech. And they have very generously offered to donate $1 for every download of the song to the Colon Cancer Alliance Blue Note Fund, which is a nonprofit that supports people with advanced colorectal cancer. And folks can go to goliveyourlife.com and download the song and see the video as well there and get information, or go to iTunes as well to get the song. But that's exactly what's going on with me right now, and just very, very thankful to be here and have the opportunity to be speaking to folks about this.
And indeed, the song is titled Go Live Your Life. And yes. It is available iTunes as a download, and I assume other places as well. So you had bouts of this prior, the colorectal cancer. Why this time was it effectively defeated?
I've been through it twice, and I know that, you know, statistically there's a 12% survival rate, five-year survival rate.
Right.
So I consider myself, extremely fortunate to still be here, and I'm very, very thankful. And people ask me, and I tell them I credit this to prayer, and I thank God every day that I'm still here. And also, it's such a mental battle as well. Mm-hmm. And somebody had given me some advice along the way when I was in the middle of this to, really, really think about a time when you're through it. You know, think about a time when you're better, when there's no longer surgeries or treatments involved, and to not dwell on the situation that you're in at the moment, but to, you know, put your head down and move forward to that time when you're better, and to think about that instead of where you're at. And that really, really seemed to help. So, you know, people ask me, and that's what I tell them, that's what helped me.
And, of course, this is part of an awareness situation where people should be aware that this disease and so many other diseases are possible, and that you've got to be vigilant, and if caught early enough, it's treatable.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. Have you found that, medical technology is amazing, and every time, you know, as I get older, I say to myself, you doctors better work pretty quickly here and solve everything before I get them, you know, but it doesn't work like that. Never does.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen. Is this something that I should be talking to my doctor about? Is this something that is included in my annual checkups?
Well, I will tell you this. If you have a family history of colon cancer, yes, absolutely. You should be tested no matter the age. But, typically, if you're over 50, yes, you need to be tested for it. If you have a family history, yes. If there are any symptoms such as bleeding or lethargy or a bloated feeling, yes, you need to be tested for it. I did not fit any of these molds. Unfortunately, I was too young.
Right.
No family history, but yeah. Folks, you definitely
you
need to
know.
Talk to their doctor.
You never know.
Yeah, talk to their doctor about this, and it's happening to younger and younger people, and we don't know why. But
it's very difficult because you talk about people who are over 50. Naturally, when you turn over 50, you become lethargic. You're not as active as you were before 50.
Right.
There's a
right.
And bloating. Hello, if you're a male and you drink a couple of beers, you're going to get some bloating, babe. You know, if you have a decent appetite. And as far as the bleeding is concerned, yeah, we pick the butt every once in a while.
you're right. You should certainly. I would tell folks. It is certainly better to be safe than sorry. Now, I had some small symptoms of this for years. In fact, my doctor told me that I had cancer for years. My tumors were so large.
Really?
That, yes. And I attributed my symptoms to weightlifting.
Okay.
And the lifestyle that I was living, as far as traveling all over the country all the time.
Yeah.
And, really, really heavy. I was in great shape.
Yeah.
And except for the fact that I had stage 4 colon cancer.
Yeah.
It's better to be safe than sorry. If you have any of those symptoms we mentioned, I would certainly get it checked out and talk to your doctor.
Yeah. Wait, had you had any colonoscopies prior to that?
Never.
Okay.
There was never any reason to. Okay. I'd actually spoken to a doctor friend of mine about my symptoms, and he said, well, you're way too young to have cancer, so let's, we don't even need to be thinking about that.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. So it's best to be safe.
Wait, how old are you?
I just turned 46.
Oh, you're young.
I was 42.
Okay, all right.
I was 42. I was.
Yeah, I get that. Okay.
I was 42 at the time I was diagnosed, and the doctor said I'd had cancer for many years. Well, not many, but he said years.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they don't start really looking for that until you are over 50. That's true.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So, where do we go for more information?
Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. GoLiveYourLife.com is the website. You can see the video for the song there. And you can download the song and also get information. And you can also go to iTunes to get the song. And again, Genentech is donating the dollar to the Colon Cancer Alliance Blue Note Fund for each download of the song. So it's a great, great organization. And we're very thankful for all the folks that are getting the song and helping us out.
Wonderful. Hey, Wade, you sound like a great guy, and thanks for gracing us today.
I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for having us on.
Okay, you take care.
All right, you do the same. Thank you.
Bye-bye. What a pleasant country guy he is. Very, very pleasant. Ladies and gentlemen, come to the end of another session. I'll be with you again next time. Until then, I wish you peace.
Unbelievably painful.
Whatever.